Hello and welcome to On the Corner, the official podcast of PitcherList.com. I'm your host, Eric Smolsky, joined as always by my co-host, Nick Pollock. Nick, it's hot in New York City. Summer is here.
No,
how you feeling?
It's not. What is happening? Eric, we went over this before the podcast recorded. It is still June 17th.
We did, but I needed people to hear this part again because it's going to be 94 tomorrow. And it's that summer.
Well, that then might be summer.
Because summer is a feeling, baby. It is not a date. It is a feeling.
It is. We don't get spring, and I hate it. It's just summer and winter, and it's annoying.
I will say that, like, I know there are great places to summer around the country, right? There are great locations where you're like, summer is great here. But summer in New York City, it is like an instantaneous thing where you walk outside and you know it because of the way people are acting and dressed and the vibe on the streets. And I love it, man. I do. I love it.
It's all right. It's better than winter, of course. But
yes,
what the summer brings are more ranking updates. We're in week 12 now.
We are.
And I've got a hot one off the press. It's fresh. It has that lovely paper smell. It's here for you, the top 100.
It is, and there are some changes here, unfortunately, due to a couple big injuries. But yeah, we're going to talk about all of that. On this list that I have dubbed this week, Bon Courtage.
Okay, that's pretty good. Bon Courtage.
Yeah. So Bon Courage in French means good luck.
Yeah.
I wish Taj Bradley the best of luck. I'm still not. I don't know for sure how it's going to go. But we'll talk about him when his time comes, but he is the cover boy.
Yeah. He is the featured guy today. Yeah.
Yeah. Any announcements before we dive in? Or are you just happy to dive right to it?
I mean, here's the thing, guys. Look, it's June and it can be kind of tough when it comes to these rankings at this point, because are we going to have guys races? Are we going to have guys that we feel like are just overperforming this year, but we just accept that they are a one hit wonder, AKA a Baja man. I think I'm rolling with that one. Like a guy who's just going to be good for the year. And we know that this is like the peak career year. Kind of like Zach Eflin last year. That was a Baja man moment, you know? And it feels like Ranger Suarez is a little bit right now.
But you'll remember that year forever.
Right, you know? And it's right in the summer. It was like the hot single. Sure. Yeah, we'll let the dogs out, right?
Mm-hmm.
But this is a fun update. It's great. It's wonderful. And, you know, I'm just excited to get to it. Let's go. What do we got?
Let's do it. You could also call them a Quad City DJ. Do you remember Come On Ride the Train and Ride It?
Ride It Out.
Come On Ride the... Yeah, that was an epic one.
Honestly, that played forever in my locker room in college.
I'm sure it did. In college? Yeah. Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, the college locker room had that endlessly.
Great song.
I'm very familiar. Yeah.
Honestly, we should bring it back. I'm glad we've been talking so much about summer because, Nick...
What?
It's the theme of this podcast.
No.
Summer activities.
I feel like we've done summer activities. We probably haven't, but...
We haven't. We've done different kinds of activities, I'm sure.
You're all about activities.
We did winter activities.
There's so much room.
We did Halloween activities. There's so much room for activities.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, it's going to be 94 tomorrow, and I wanted to talk summer. And so we're doing summer activities. And some of them aren't great. You know, like if you get dragged out to in the sun in some sort of like hot, humid, mosquito-y, like I don't want to be here. Yes, it's sunny and it's great, but I am uncomfortable and I don't like it.
Absolutely.
I'd rather be anywhere else.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't rather be anywhere else than right here talking, pitching with you.
so let's go. Let's get to it.
We'll start with tier number one. We'll start with number one, Zach Wheeler. Number two, Tyler Glasnow. Number three, Tarek Skubal. Number four, Chris Sale. Number five, Corbin Burns. Number six, Max Fried. Number seven, Cole Reagans. Number eight, Luis Castillo. Number nine, Garrett Crochet. Number 10, Shota Imanaga. And number 11, Paul Skeens. What's this tier called and why is it called that?
This is going to a baseball game.
Yeah.
Number one summer activity. Go to a baseball game.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I'll be honest with you guys, if it's like a nice cool 75 or something like that, make sure you bring a sweatshirt. It is always colder at the game.
Yeah.
Sunset. Especially if it's a Nike. Now if it's a day game, of course, make sure you know where the shadows are, so you're not just going to get sunburnt the entire time. But absolutely, going to baseball game in the summer,
got to do it. Let's talk about the big mover here. Garrett Crochet into tier number one, huh?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, anyone who has Garrett Crochet roster knows that he has just been absurd. And I don't really feel like I need to say anything more about this. His four-seamer and his cutter are playing off of each other in tandem. It's a 21% swing strike right now. It's cutter. So it's pretty ridiculous.
And I understand that he didn't have a track record of success behind him early in the season. So when he had those two or three rough starts, mm-hmm. you know, on like his fourth or fifth start of the year, there were a lot of people that dropped him that said, you know, the Brave start was a flash in the pan, whatever it was. Mm-hmm. And it's a good example of just not overreacting to a couple of starts at any point in the season, early in the season, at the end of the season, towards the middle of the season. If you have a strong feeling on a pitcher, and I understand that we didn't have the track record of success on Crochet, but he looked so good early on and the foundation looked solid enough that one or two bad starts, maybe you bench him for the next start, but it doesn't necessarily warrant just wholesale moving on. I think we sometimes need to talk ourselves down from that. Again, if you have that foundation of trust in the pitcher prior to the bad starts.
Right. There's nuance with Crochet. It's actually kind of funny. This happens to me all the time where I was out on Crochet. I mean, sure, I had him in my rankings early on as like, hey, cool. Here's a Spice Girl kind of guy. Like, honestly, like D.L. Hall and A.J. Puck, I like those guys more than Crochet because Crochet was going to go against, it was opening day, wanted to wait to start. Then it was going to be Atlanta after. And I was like, I don't want to do this. This is just going to be such a hard decision to make. And even after the first one, I thought this is kind of a wild Michael Kopech a little bit with the slider and everything. Mm-hmm. And then after Atlanta, I was like, I don't know. And then he had the three bad starts. And that's when everyone was off the train. I started to get on it. And honestly, what was kind of funny is after the third one, I said, guys, this is actually like the first one was weird. The second one was weird. The third one fine was bad. But he has a cutter now. Right. He didn't have a cutter in the first start. In the preseason, just a four-seamer and a slider. So seeing that was like, well, hold on. This is actually a new adjustment and a new addition. There was then the changeup that showed up against the Twins as well. And the fourth start after the bad one against the Twins, he came back with the changeup, did really well. And it's like, wait, there's more to this than, mm-hmm. you know, he's a different pitcher at the end of that adversity than he was in the stellar first three starts. And Garrett Crochet's soared since.
And the first bad start was still 10 strikeouts in 4 2/3 innings.
Right.
So there was a way to be like, okay. You know, there's something going on here. And that was in his fourth start of the season. So by that point, and again, we thought the Braves at that point in the season were like World Series contenders when he, you know, put it to him.
Right.
So, but yes, I don't know. I will fully admit to not seeing Garrett Crochet coming and being far more in on DL Hall. But yeah, he is the real deal. I'm excited to see how the rest of the season goes. I'm honestly like, if he gets traded, I know people keep talking about like the Orioles after these injuries. Like that could be pretty cool. Would love to see it. And then Paul Skeens moved up into tier one. I believe he was a tier two guy last week.
Correct. Yeah, it's just more of him doing the thing. Yep. Anyone who has Paul Skeens knows, I feel very strongly about this.
Yeah,
it's pretty easy.
Exciting. Top of tier number two. Starting number 12, Garrett Cole. Number 13, Joe Ryan. Number 14, Aaron Noah. Number 15, Sonny Gray. Number 16, Tanner Houck. Number 17, Grayson Rodriguez. Number 18, George Kirby. Number 19, Logan Gilbert. Number 20, Ranger Suarez. Number 21, Logan Webb. What's this year called? Is it called that?
Oh, man, there's so many things I can go with. But I'm going to go with the first time you jump into a body of water that you're excited about. There's just something about that for me as someone who I grew up swimming in Cape Cod. Like the first time that I take a dip in one of their ponds is just like, okay, summer's here. This is it. I've arrived. I'm finally there. I'm finally present. And everyone kind of knows that when it's like just nice enough to be able to do that. Oh, it's always there for you. It's great.
Yep. For me, it was just swimming in the Atlantic Ocean, which I know isn't as exciting, but it just felt like the start of summer.
Yeah, not exciting at all. No, it's great.
But nice. So talk to me about putting Garrett Cole in tier two as opposed to starting him in tier one. Like, what was your thought process?
Oh, difficult. It? So
yes,
it's there's a lot of confusion about what the list actually is, right? What am I ranking? Is this rest of season? Is it for the week? Is it all of this. And I keep saying to everybody as much as I can, it is a difficult thing. But this is as if I'm drafting a team today.
Mm-hmm.
And how you handle a draft, you remember my stuff from the preseason, it's not a best ball league. But it's this case where in the first half, I'm favoring more so rest of season. And by the end of it, I'm favoring this week. So with Gerrit Cole, it's a situation of two things. One, we want to assume that he's number one again, but we don't know yet. He might still have a lingering issue. We just saw with Kyle Bradish that he wasn't totally fine. We've also understood that Gerrit Cole wasn't as good last year, and we saw some signs of regression possibly coming this year. And it's not a complete lock that Gerrit Cole is just going to show up and do really well. At the same time, this isn't for the next week or two. This is for the next 4 months. So I have to be aggressive on this with Gerrit Cole, because if I'm drafting today, I am favoring Gerrit Cole over Logan Webb. Mm-hmm. I mean, come on, we're going to do that. And Logan Webb's at 21. So he's clearly in tier two. Then it's a question of, okay, is he tier one inside the top 10? Well, I know those guys are good right now. Mm-hmm. I know they are producing. I know they are killing it. I don't 100% know yet with Gerrit Cole. I expect him to be. And he's one of the very few who has the ace is going to ace tag right out of the gate from the IL. Someone else is in tier three, is returning, not going to have the AGA label out of the gate. He needs to have the traditional three starts first. But we expect Gerrit Cole to be dope. If we were drafting today, I would think that we put him right about here.
Are you in a still ill situation with Gerrit Cole, given that it's the Orioles and we don't know, he had some like nerve issues within the rehab. And so we're like, we don't really fully know what to expect.
So he threw 70 pitches in his last game.
Last start. Yeah, yeah. He can probably go 80 here.
And what's really cool, if you have PL Pro, you can use our Today's Four Seamers app to actually see any day's worth of starting pitchers in both AAA and the majors, and actually some single A.
You didn't even tell me it was the minor leagues also.
We just added this past year. This past week we added this. I know. So I was actually able to look at Gerrit Cole's last AAA start and see how good is his fastball. Like, instead of actually just using the Savant site, which gives you limited information, this is just like straight up, is his fastball good or not? We have our what we call Fan 4+, which is essentially your 100 scale, like your WRC plus kind of scale, mm-hmm. for predicting if this pitch is going to get a whiff or not. Where 100's average in at the MLB level. And yeah, Gerrit Cole's was looking good. IDB was really good, actually higher than it was averaging last year in this one 70 pitch start. So it's 70 pitches, which means he's probably stretched like 80 and change against the Orioles. I think he's going to bring it. I think he's going to have so much adrenaline. The thing about still ill too, is still ill is from a time where we did not have any information. Mm-hmm. We didn't have anyone reporting how many pitches they threw in the last rehab start. We couldn't really get any information on how many rehab starts they've had. Have they pitched on the side? What is it? How fast are they throwing? None of this information was there. We just knew that he's back from the IL. So that was just a complete shrug. And when there's a shrug, we don't want to do it. But when we know that Gerrit Cole's velocity is fine, or actually it was around like 94 and change, it looks like he was a little bit underneath it. I'm not worried about that. But we know the pitch count. We know that his IVB is there. Like, okay, seems like you should be fine. We know the locations of the pitches, you know. Mm. It's pretty wild how much data we have now that helps us overcome still ill a little bit more of the shrug. So I think I'm going to do it for Gerrit Cole against the Orioles this week.
Let's do it. A couple guys rising up here, but nothing drastic. And it feels like some of it's also injury related. I'm curious of the guys who are up, you know, five or more spots. You got Tanner Houck up five, Logan Gilbert up five, Ranger Suarez up eight. Is there anybody you want to touch on in particular?
It's kind of funny. Six guys entered this tier. Mm-hmm. I mean, you have Gerrit Cole, of course, but Tanner Houck, Grayson Rodriguez, George Kirby, Logan Gilbert, and Ranger Suarez all got their aces going to ace tags this week. They all had tough matchups and they all came through. So props to them. George Kirby's doing the thing, Eric. Did you notice this?
I did.
Did you see it? Oh my gosh. Do you remember this in the offseason? What my wish for George Kirby was?
Well, I mean, the wish for all of the Mariners was better secondaries.
Well, yeah, but specifically there's something else for George Kirby, because he had the slider kind of figured out a bit last year.
Yes. You wanted his four seamer up, didn't you?
Yeah. Yeah. Look at you, Eric. Oh, passing with flying colors.
A lot of data to go through in my head, but yeah.
That's my dude. Yes. George Kirby last year had a 10% O swing. It was first percentile among all four seamers, like a 60% zone rate. So what has he done in his last, I believe, his four starts? He has a sub 40% zone rate on that four seamer now with a 41% O swing. Oh my gosh, he's out of the zone and actually getting whiffs and using his four seamer as the weapon. And then the sinker stays upstairs and the slider is down in glove side and getting strikes. Like, that's it. He's doing it. He's figuring it out. And it was like, okay, George Kirby, you're the kind of dude who could do this. So please do it. And then he did it. And it's great. I'm a huge fan.
Wonderful.
It's so good. You gotta love it. Grayson Gregory is just looking good. He can be better, but he's still good enough. Logan Gilbert, sometimes a splitter in the cutter. Or the cutter show up. And all he needs is one of those two to show up because the slider and the four-seamer are always there. Ranger Suarez just keeps doing it. Whatever. He's a Baja man, I guess. One-hit wonder.
It is Hauk, not a Baja man.
I don't know. The splitter is so good right now. Mm-hmm. It's ridiculous how good that splitter is. He's able to get so many strikes against lefties with it, and that's really changing everything because he just throws a slider always in the zone. And then to righties, he does go a little bit further away. The sinker is incredible. Actually, has a front door now sometimes to lefties. And then
I've been noticing
inside of righties. It's pretty cool.
I mean, we talked in the offseason about there were reports that his command was vastly improved because they had changed his approach down the mound in terms of making sure that he was getting more downhill in the release to come directly at the catcher,
right, instead of being as cross body as much,
and that had improved his command.
Yeah.
And I do think like those things like that with like front door sinkers, like those are things that I don't know that he would have had the trust or the command to execute in the last few years.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, he's looking great. I still have some worry about the splitter being this good. And having an approach that is just like, here are 20 million sliders, do something with this. Like, they hit a home run off of it. I was like, oh, right. That's what they should expect. Tanner Houck's still really great, and you're starting him every time. So, feels good. And I do want to mention, I'm having doubts that Logan Webb is an ace. It's weird, because he is 81st percentile in strikeouts. It's just because of volume. He has like a 20% K rate. But it's a 120 whip. And a 3+, 3-ish ERA. Like, to me, that's really the start of tier four without being like that overwhelming, oh my gosh, ace is gonna ace, my guy is the best and whatever. So I don't know. Like, I don't want to skip an entire tier for Logan Webb from like 21 to like 34 or something. But I kind of feel as if the other guys I'm seeing in tier three are just showcasing some extra level, while it's always hard to manage, hey, who are the volume aces, and should we be really leaning into that more so in our 12 teamers as opposed to like 15 teamers? That's a tough thing I got to figure out.
Yeah, it's interesting that, I mean, granted, some of this is injury related, but like coming into the year, it was like Logan Webb, Zach Gallen, and to a lesser extent, but also sort of Framber Valdez were like, hey, if you want security of just like, you're going to get 190 innings,
right,
and they're going to be good innings, and you're not going to have to worry about like, oh, what am I going to get from Tyler Glass now? What am I going to get from like that? The narrative was to take those safe guys. Gallen obviously dealing with injuries, Valdez dealt with some injuries as well, but like none of them have been that rock that the narrative was that you were getting. If you took somebody who wasn't volatile but would give you a consistent,
this is why profile. I think about this every year. I hear that same thing, like, oh yeah, just get the rock, it's safe, it's secure, whatever. They have the same chance of not hitting it without the same ceiling often. I think about this, like Nola, for example. Hey, he is kind of being like, that's it for the 8-runner game, but he wasn't always in previous years. It was every, it's like every other year. George Kirby has been up and down, even though he was supposed to be really safe. It's something to think about moving forward. And I think I have no idea how the offseason is going to go, because there are so many good pitchers. There are so many. It's just stupid how many ridiculous pitchers there are this year. And then there are ones that are hurt too.
Right.
And I think everyone's going to be saying, hey, look, I don't care. 120 innings doesn't matter. Just give me whoever, because I don't know what injuries are. I don't know who's going to get injured. Might as well just take my Glasnows, you know.
We were saying that a little bit before the season. I don't know that we felt it as strongly as we were saying it, but it has worked out. And maybe that is the way. This is the way. Maybe it is.
You just throw it all to the wind.
We'll talk about more things that are the way, and we'll do that after this break. We'll start tier number three with number 22, Mackenzie Gore. Number 23, Jack Flaherty. Number 24, Bobby Miller. Number 25, Luis Gil. Number 26, Justin Steele. Number 27, Ronel Blanco. Number 28, Freddie Peralta. Number 29, Kevin Gausman. Number 30, Jared Jones. Number 31, Dylan Cease. Number 32, Ryan Pepiot. Number 33, Pablo Lopez. That section known as the Red Wedding. Nick, what is this tier called, and why is it called that?
This is summer camp, because you're so excited about all of it. And then sometimes it kind of sucks.
But mostly good. But some days.
Mostly good.
Some days,
you know, suck. Yeah. You're going to look back and be like, oh, yeah, I had a great time at camp. But sometimes it's just like, oh, man.
Yeah. Shout out to Trevor. I don't know your last name. You were my Australian camp counselor when I was 9 years old at a sleepaway camp. And you got fired because you rat-tailed kids, but you dipped the towel in water, and you were really coming at kids. And yeah, a little bit of a not such a nice guy.
Never Trevor.
Bobby Miller jumping into this tier, tier three, has not had the rehab appearances that Gerrit Cole has in terms of, you know, baseline stats. Gets a start in Coors, which, you know, offense maybe doesn't scare us. Location is not the most thrilling. What are your thoughts on Bobby Miller coming off the IL?
93 pitches in his last outing.
That part, the buildup has been great. The results haven't been. But again, like you kind of say, when people go to the minors, don't pay too much attention because they're working on things. I do think rehabbing starters are also working on things.
And 100%.
It's all just about, like, what's the stat line?
And his four-seamer, if you looked at our app, was fantastic. So. Yeah, I'm cool with it.
Ronel Blanco is also a big riser up in this tier, coming 13 spots up to 27. What are you seeing that jumped him up?
Last two games have both been a King Cole. That is the CSW leader, including a golden goal where he also had the whiffs in it. Yeah, Ronel Blanco is starting to look like the kind of guy that we wanted him to be. Coming back from the suspension, he had a little bit of some haze of like, hey, are you actually going to be able to do this? Your four seamer command is getting worse, to change up a little bit, but no, slider is looking great. The four seamer spotting has been phenomenal, and the change up sometimes gets lofted a bit, but the results are there. And so, yeah, Ronel Blanco looks fantastic.
It's such a fun story, man. I don't have him anywhere just because I was like, I wasn't buying in. Like, this
the whole
came out of nowhere. Nothing about this is real. Then at that point, like, Urquidy was coming back and all that stuff. But you know what? I'm happy for him. I hope he keeps shoving. It's a great story.
Absolutely.
Let's talk about the Red Wedding for a second, which is the section at the bottom of tier three that's just all red, and two of which are two big red numbers. Freddie Peralta down 11, Jared Jones down 14. Spots. Are you seeing anything here that's legitimately concerning, or just it's a bump in the road, but I had to adjust the rankings?
So all six of these are your premium cherry bombs at the moment, who we all know should get the ace tag at some point. And the only one who hasn't actually had it in their career is Ryan Pepiot.
Yeah.
But Freddie Peralta is looking like Professor Chaos a bit. Jared Jones's four seamer has been worse. The last six starts have been like 11% swing strike rate. And we're talking about the guy who holds the number one swing strike rate in the majors across the full year. And to have it on just 11% on your four seamer right now, not exactly what you want to see. His last two starts are really strange. I'm going to say that one of them is messed up because of Coors, where the IVB numbers were underneath 14 inches of vert, which is very low. But also Coors does that at times. However, the previous one against the Twins was also under 14 inches. And this is supposed to be a 17-inch IVB four-seamer. If you don't know what that is, since you're saying like that's vertical movement up, that makes it unhittable. He's losing that somehow. I don't know why. I don't know how. I would imagine the spin axis is off on the fastball, essentially. He's just not getting behind it enough. and is just not getting burnt because of it. But something's off with Jared Jones, and I'm not going to ignore it. These are all the cherry bomb guys, like Polanco, Steele, Heel, Bobby Miller, Flaherty, Gore. These are all guys that are on the precipice of their AGA tag. While the other six here, I mean, including Gausman and Dylan Cease, who just lost his mechanics last game, were like, oh, cool, there goes old Dylan Cease. Pablo Lopez, who just doesn't have his feel quite back, even though he did all right in his last start. It's not, hey, I have my three major pitches in four seamer and sweeper and changeup, and I know that I'm going to execute all of them, including also maybe a sinker in there to get some outs. And there's Ryan Pepiot, who looks so good against the Orioles, and then just wasn't nearly the guy we want him to be in his last start. So all these guys should be better, but I felt like I need to put them in their own little mini tier down at the end of tier three.
I get that. Makes sense. We got some guys who are pitching significantly better of late in tier four. Number 34, Reynaldo Lopez. Number 35, Bailey Ober. Number 36, Michael King. Number 37, Cutter Crawford. Number 38, Carlos Rodon. Number 39, Framber Valdez. And number 40, Nick Pivetta. What's this tier called? Why is it called?
See, I feel like I've given the exact tier name I'm about to give.
Okay, what is it?
Because we've done this before. Now, sleep.
Honestly, I don't remember you giving that.
Oh man, sleep is
honestly, you might have when I asked you about rainy day activities.
Rainy day activities. I should have given that one. Could have been, I think, vacations or something like that.
There were types of vacations.
Yeah, maybe it's like a sleep one. I don't know.
Listen,
summer activity. Like, I'm just so happy to sleep in, man. Yeah. Oh gosh,
Nick, I haven't slept in 2 years. I would love to sleep in. Sounds lovely.
Wait, seriously?
Yeah, I don't sleep in with a kid now.
Yeah, but have you not like had a single night to sleep in?
I haven't. No, the one night I did when we had a night I had an opportunity to we had a NBC Sports meetup in Stamford, Connecticut, and we had flew everybody in for football stuff, and housekeeping came into my room at 6:30 in the morning, and I couldn't go back to sleep.
Oh my gosh, Eric. Yeah. Eric, how do we make guys, how would we all chip in to get Eric like a night nurse or something?
We'll be fine.
Night nurse.
Yeah. Plus I got a 40th birthday coming up. I'll go away for the weekend and, you know.
Okay.
In January, but that. So I got some time.
Are you going to be at First Pitch Arizona?
I would like to actually. So that might be a thing.
You're not going to sleep in though.
Yeah, that's the other thing. Then you're like, oh, the nights I do get to sleep in, what did you do? Well, I was hanging out with everybody until 1 and I slept until 8. And you're like,
yeah, you really need to though. It's so good. Guys, if you haven't been to First Pitch Arizona,
I haven't been. I do want to go actually.
I cannot express enough. It is the most fun weekend. You get to hang out with everybody in the industry, and everybody in the industry is awesome. Yeah. And everybody's in the same room and wants to talk about the same stuff as you. And you can approach everybody. Everyone's super nice and great, and we're just having the best time ever. And I got to hang out with everybody I don't get to see during the year. So,
I'll tell you, in a month, I might get a chance to sleep in. I'm helping coach a youth baseball tournament. But it's like a Friday to Tuesday one, so it's for a while. But like, depending on how we play, depending on that schedule, like you don't know what.
Oh, those kids, if they're like in a hotel or something, you're going to have the security guard the entire night.
The parents are there. The parents come. So it's fine.
Oh, okay. That's good.
But it's just like, don't give me the 8 a.m. game. Give me the 11:10 game.
I'll talk to some people for you. Thank you. Sleep. That's what it is. It's dependable. It's always there. You enjoy it.
Somebody who we were kind of sleeping on. That's a terrible... It's a terrible segue because we weren't really sleeping on Cutter Crawford. No, we were just saying he's just been struggling.
He's been rough. And
but he had a good start his last time out.
Two of them.
True. The last one against the Yankees as well. And there was kind of this idea that like, hey, the early part of the season was not for real. We knew that. He had like a 1.7 ERA. It wasn't going to happen. But he is a solid pitcher with a deep arsenal of pitches. And for the most part, he was going to figure it out and... and be solid. And he survived a test against the Phillies and Yankees. And are you feeling a little more confident in him?
I mean, Cutter Crawford showed us yesterday that his four seamer is good and his cutter is good and his sweeper is good. And I feel like the sweeper is becoming that leader a little bit for him. It was certainly that way against the Yankees. And there's sometimes the splitters there and the curveballs there too. So I often say when it comes to guys I like the most are the ones who are good or killing it. They go through their adversity and they come out the other side mm-hmm. of it better. So
you could kind of say that about Michael right King.
Absolutely, Michael King, who's up at three spots to 36. I remember after that Colorado Rockies start that everyone started freaking out. And I don't know. I just feel like he's Italian. He's stupid good, and he's going to be good for the entire year. So,
and the swing and miss, the swinging strikes, the strikeouts, all that kind of stuff. It's been better than I expected it to be. Just in keeping with, you know, him as a full on starter, I thought he might lose some of it. I know he was great at the end of the year for the Yankees. I'm not saying, I mean, I always flashed it, but it's different carrying it out through a whole season. But he's missing lots of bats. You know, and has been super effective. I'm less convinced about the recent performance of Framber Valdez.
Yeah, Framber Valdez, to me, I'm tempted to just shove him into that cherry bomb tier in tier six. I mean, it's just 3.99 ERA, 1.21 whip, a 19% K rate. I don't know, 51st percentile strikeouts. And it's, you're not even getting all the wins that you thought you would get. He's 5-4. Because the Astros haven't been winning as many games.
Mm-hmm.
He just goes back and forth. Some days he just gets all the outs with the sinker and his curveball's there or his changeup's working. And other days it's just not. And I'm sick of it. Sick of it.
I texted your ranking to Nick Pivetta and then he went out and pitched a pretty good game against the Blue Jays tonight.
Oh, nice. Good stuff, buddy. I still stand by my ranking because Pivetta has been back and forth with his cutter. And without that pitch, I'm relying then on his sweeper and curveball to complement his four-seamer can work, but it's not nearly as dependable start to start. And yeah, this game, what do you know? Cutter showed up. Yeah. Through 15 of them.
And what's funny is like the preseason, I think your preseason ranking of him, I think we both had him kind of in the 40s. And it was basically like, hey, the good stretch he had at the end of last year was not a fluke.
Right.
And he'll be a solid pitcher. And like, what is he right now? Like a 3.9 ERA pitcher. Like he's solid. Like I don't think anybody was like, this is a breakout. This is like a full on ace. But he has made good on last year to a certain extent and is cementing himself kind of as the guy we thought he might be in Philadelphia.
Now, to be fair, he led 2 home runs in this, only 4 strikeouts.
That last one did just happen.
Yeah.
The David Schneider one happened after I just bragged about it.
And 7 innings here. So careful, so Chris. You could say a little
that's
bit.
That's my fault. I apologize for putting that extra run on his ledger by bragging about it.
The idea that we have that much power, everyone. Okay. Yeah. Nick Pivetta looking solid. I feel that's fine. Same with Rodon. And honestly, Ronaldo Lopez has been great. It's so obviously good. Going to come back down. He has a sub-2 ERA at the moment.
Yeah.
And the left on base rate is ridiculous, but he's really good. And
if you think about the relievers really converting to starting, we already mentioned Garrett Crochet, who's in tier one.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's Ronaldo Lopez, who everybody was like, I've seen this before. Like, mm-hmm. I know they said they were signing him to be a starter, but
yeah, that was so
not
wild.
Signing
yeah.
him to be a starter. And he's been great. Mm-hmm. And so like it can happen. It does happen. It's just the guys that we were, you know, collectively, and I'll admit to my liking of DL Hall and AJ Puck or whatever. I think DL Hall was like one of my most rostered players.
Right.
It didn't work, but it has worked for a lot of guys doing the same thing.
I mean, there are even more of them. But I remember with Tout Wars, trying to figure out how to make a staff work because I just spent so much money on hitting. And then bonding with Tristan Cockcroft in the hallway after because he's like, and you got Ronaldo Lopez in the reserve round. It's like, yes, but you got Jared Jones. But still, I got Ronaldo Lopez and it's great. Other ones that I was thinking of, you have Christopher Sanchez, who was a reliever. Mm-hmm. And Ranger Suarez, by the way, guys, used to be a reliever. But if you're talking about entering this year, I feel like we had a couple others that made the conversion. Jordan Hicks is one.
Jordan Hicks, yeah.
Yeah, he's at 67 for me right now. We'll get to him a little bit later. He's someone that certainly came to mind before that I wanted to bring up. And then there's, I feel like there's one more guy. Not Garrett Christian, not Puck, not Hall. Oh, yeah, and of course, it's Michael King. who, I mean, at the end of the year was forming into a starter, but like he wasn't, you know, we were like, oh, he's not going to be able to handle the full season stuff. And like, that's working out pretty well too. So, all those guys, yeah, it sometimes it doesn't work, obviously, especially when they change what they're doing. And sometimes it does. So it's, I think it's certainly a lesson to be learned of like, let's give these guys a shot. And I wonder if Ben Joyce finally, no, that's not going to happen. He needs to get his command in order. But so, yeah, it's something definitely to consider, especially when we talk about the cliff for 12 teamers moving into around the 50s or 60s of your drafts, because you've seen how many, I mean, I can't wait for that table at the end of the year where I showcase all the guys you were able to pick up who weren't inside the top 275 of ADP, right? It's going to be ridiculous. So might as well take chances on guys, and maybe you'll hit a Crochet. Maybe you'll hit a Reynaldo Lopez.
You might. And wouldn't you be so ecstatic if you did do that? You'll be so ecstatic about some of the other names that we're going to get to, but we're going to do that after this break. We start tier number 5 with number 41, Nathan Eovaldi. Number 42, Seth Lugo. Number 43, Tanner Bibee. Number 44, Brian Wu. Number 45, Yusei Kikuchi. And number 46, Kevin Stone. What's the tier called? Why is it called that?
This one, okay, hold on. I did summer reading as well. What was summer reading? That was summer. Summer reading was a tier. Okay, everyone listening to this right now, I'm pretty sure we did summer activities.
But why would we? It's just summer. Maybe you're saying maybe we did it like last year.
Like literally like last week.
Listen, if you're listening and you find out that I did this already and I just forgot, just summer keep it reading. To yourself.
I know DM I did me. Summer reading as a tier.
Just DM me and tell me that I did it, and just don't publicize it. And it's I'll, like summer vacation. I'll send you a gift. don't let people know.
Oh, I'm so okay. All right. This is tier 5, which is a lot of the Hollies, of course, mm-hmm. the old staples. And oh man, I said going outside with your friend. Okay. This would be just camping. Okay, just go off to the woods. Have yourself a nice tent, you know, feel some of those leaves crunch a little bit, make some s'mores, have a good time.
Love a s'more. Do you s'more in like the microwave? Like, would you do that?
No.
Okay. I agree.
The taste of a s'more is about the creation.
People sometimes s'more like over the, like a gas stove. Cause you get fire.
But here's the thing.
I think it's cheating.
Well, people can enjoy whatever the heck they want. Okay, don't knock the yum. All right.
Well, I said it's cheating. I didn't say you couldn't do it.
I mean, but you're saying you should feel worse about it.
You could cheat and win a World Series. You probably don't feel worse about it.
Well, they should feel worse about it. Okay. All right. Oh man, I gotta say, by the way, I want to apologize quickly to Astros fans. There's a lot of confusion that happened. We put out an article last week that was after, of course, the player got banned from baseball. San Diego Padres, and we do this MLB morning news article every day. And if you guys don't know this, we have templates for all of our daily articles. Like the streamer article I have, there's a template for each day. There's a different player on it, and it's just some generic, you know, one of the players, whatever. MLB morning news has one, and Nasty's Gifts has one, so on and so forth. It's just for that day, right? So we put out the, you know, MLB morning news. We're talking about these suspensions and gambling, and we put inside the tweet just saying, hey, look, and we're going to go over all these suspensions, everything inside MLB morning news, and we put it out. Then I find that I'm getting all of these tweets that are just like, this is disgusting, this is the worst thing you've ever, I'm like, what did I do? I didn't even do anything. What's going on? And I realized that on Wednesdays the template for the MLB morning news is Jeremy Pena. So Astros fans thought that we made a specific graphic to talk only about the gambling news. By the way, this article had many things about yesterday, not just this thing. But because I said in the preview on Twitter that it was, you know, we're talking about all the suspensions, and then had a graphic of Jeremy Pena dusting himself off after stealing a base, that this is us just saying, haha, a cheating thing. It's the Astros. And so someone on Twitter, Astros Twitter account, you know, retweeted this and said, like, oh my God, how dare they kind of thing. I'm like, what? I don't even know what I did. I'm like, oh guys, like here's last week's article. Like it has the same template. So anyway, we don't want, you know, we're not going out assigning articles to anything just to the Astros, but 2017, that was messed up and you should feel even more cheated than anyone else, Astros fans, because that's, you know, they did that to you and that stinks. I feel for you. I feel for honestly, the Astros fans kind of the most, you know.
You're just a good guy. You're a very good guy.
Ah! Oh man, lots of confusion.
There was a lot of good guys in this tier. I'm curious if you, the biggest riser was Tanner Bibee, 8 spots. Brian Wu fell 6. His elbow is apparently fine, even though it doesn't seem. But it's fine.
This isn't gonna last, right? Is it? I don't know.
It can't. It's filling me with Kyle Bradish vibes.
But Kyle Bradish didn't get an MRI, and they're like completely clean.
Well, that's true. Yeah, that's true. But do you remember how? And oh my, I don't want to say this out loud because I don't want to put this into the world.
Uh oh.
But do you remember that Tyler Glasnow told the story that they kept giving him MRIs and that kept coming back completely clean, and it came back completely clean because the ligament was completely intact. It just wasn't on the bone anymore.
Oh gosh.
And that was why he kept pitching through these injuries for multiple years, is that the MRI kept saying it was clean because the ligament was fine, but the elbow itself was not.
Oh man. Okay. Well, this is fun. This is a fun conversation. I hope that Brian Wu is fine. He's pitching.
I hope he's fine too.
And also, as he's pitched through the injury, he's been great. So that's all I got.
He has been. Anything to say about Tanner Bibee up 8 spots?
I mean, Tanner Bibee's done well with the slider. His four-seamer precision's been pretty good. The changeup hasn't really been, but it's one of those cases like Lucas Giolito where you kind of throw your changeup in the zone, and that works well enough because they're hunting the fastball so much.
Good to see it. We get to start tier number 6 with our guy. Let's number go. 47, Taj Bradley. Number 48, Christopher Sanchez. Number 49, Walker Buehler. Number 50, Nick Lodolo. Number 51, Bryce Miller. Number 52, Hunter Green. Why is this tier called summer reading?
No. This one is super soaker fight.
Oh, yes.
Because it's really, like, oh my gosh, you're just so amped. I remember this. I remember as a kid, I went over to my friend's house during the summer. It was a block party and we were just kind of hanging out. Me and my friend were like 12 years old or something. And this younger kid, like 8 years old or something, 9 years old, comes at us with like a small, like squirt gun and starts like, but it's not like a big guy. It's just, you know, it's bigger than the handheld one, but you know, going after us, like really bothering us with it. So then we like leave and we go into my friend Ben's house who had like, everyone has a friend that has like the legit toys, and that was Ben. And we come out with like Super Soaker 2000s, like we're Men in Black or something. And we come out, we just like shoot, you know, get him revenge out of that. And it's like, yeah, it seems really fun at first to have a water fight until you get the Men in Black showing up, you know? So this is a cherry bomb tier. You don't know what you're getting yourself into.
What are you getting yourself into with Taj Bradley?
Well, hopefully he's four seamer and splitter. That's what he was in his last start against the Cubs. It was four seamers all around the zone, splitters underneath it. Both pitches over 70% strike rate, which is absurdly good for Taj Bradley.
Mm-hmm.
And cutting the cutter, I think actually is helping him here because the cutter was one of the more erratic pitches. Mm-hmm. I do also wonder, this is something that Alex Fast has preached for a long time, when you mix in a cutter with your four seamer, at times it can be really tough keeping as good of a four seamer. It can mean essentially you're supinating, you're coming out of the right side of your cutter a bit, and that means that you don't stay actually as behind on the four seamer. You just get a little bit off on that too. It's just residue of throwing that cutter as much as you do. So getting rid of that maybe allowed Taj Bradley to have a better feel for the four seamer, get more strikes on it, and the splitter was really as good as we've seen. Now that could just be a peak. That's very possible. And as someone who is very much out on Taj Bradley, I've been saying his command is terrible. It's a cherry bomb, blah, 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 doom, doom, doom. You should see this plus 17 as me saying, look, like I'm not going to just look at all this stuff and ignore it. I understand that this actually looks like a path to success finally for Taj Bradley. I was incredibly impressed with this. And the fact that he's only had, I think, 2 really big blowups that added, that combined for 14 earned runs. And everything else has been kind of gravy. So about 30% strikeout rate, actually 31% for Taj Bradley with only 7% walk rate. It does seem like Taj Bradley might actually have a path to being a consistent premium cherry bomb.
Yeah, I wrote an article last week prior to this start, and basically said a lot of the same things, that like was looking at his arsenal and the command of it and just the consistency of the locations and the spotting. And it wasn't command like, hey, he's going to walk 12 in three innings. It was command like, can he actually hit the spots he's trying to hit? And then he went out and shoved against the Cubs and you're like, okay. And I saw the same thing. I saw the stat line. I looked at the strike zone plot on Pitcher List because I do really appreciate your strike zone plots. And I appreciate not just the strike zone plotting of them, but the fact that you get like whiff, CSW, all of that by pitch next to it helps to like keep the visual consistent.
Right. You have to go to Illustrator and back on Savant.
Like I see where the pitches are located. And then I also see whiffs, CSW, called strikes, all that kind of stuff.
You can even separate it instantly by pitch type. So if you just, if you can't make it out in anything, you just go up to the top and just select four seamer, cutter, splitter. It's great.
But so anyway, that he looked good. I agree with everything that you're saying on it. And you and I have also always been kind of fans of Nick Lodolo as a pitcher, and hope that he could put it together outside of, you know, terrible injury luck and some bad home parks. But he's up 11 spots here on this list.
Oh, yeah. So Nick Lodolo, I don't really know. I don't know how good the curveball is going to be. The three pitch mix is just kind of working. The four seamer is really like a sinker, but it has done well for him. The changeup is decently effective against righties. It's not something I really depend on a given night, but it's not a bad pitch for him at all. And then you have the curveball that can be the whiff monster, like the 21% swing strike rate pitch. But last four games have been kind of on that. And I hope he's not really losing it. But Nick Lodolo isn't really killing you. And if you remember last year, Lodolo had like, what, like six starts of a 440 BABIP or something like that. I mean, we can just kind of write that one off. And there's just this idea that like Nick Lodolo, hey, you're going to go on a ridiculous run, aren't you? Where the curveball is killing it and the four seamers upstairs and the changeup's working. Like, I feel like that's kind of there for Lodolo. Just we haven't really seen him unlock it yet.
I hope we do. Tier seven, a lot of guys staying in similar spots. We've got number 53, Nestor Cortes. Number 54, Justin Verlander. Number 55, Zach Eflin. Number 56, Marcus Stroman. Number 57, Jose Berrios. Number 58, Chris Bassett. Number 59, Jake Irvin. What's this tier called? And why is it called?
Well, I said going to your grandparents. It's kind of wild to me. No, it's just like,
you didn't say going to your grandparents, but
that. Oh, I totally mentioned this one. But no, it won't be that one because I already did that one. It's what do we do in the summer? Well, let me tell you, Eric, what we do is we tan. And the thing is, you don't know if you really want to do that, but it's like kind of what you're supposed to do. You know, you're supposed to be like, hey, look, Nick, you are a pasty white dude in New York City. You do a lot of stuff in your apartment all the time. You have to go out and tan. And what better category than the tan suit Toby tier to go and tan?
Tan suit Toby tier. Most of these guys haven't changed that much at all, except Zach Eflin is down 14 spots.
Yeah, he's a Toby. That's the thing. I mean, I think we just got to accept that he's not going to be like that Holly or that Ace from last year. He squeezed so much out of everything they had last season. I don't think it's bad. Like, he's right around Stroman, Cortes, Verlander. Like, these are good, solid players. But I think the ceiling is not like a three, low threes, 105, 110 whip. It's like, cool, like a 3.7, 115, 20 plus percent strikeout rate. Like, that's cool. That's helpful. It's just not. Also, without the same offense behind him, it also hurts the win total too. Sure. So he's not that kind of guy, but he's just solid. That's cool.
I was wrong on him. I will say that, like, I coming into this year thought that what we saw last year was not legitimate in that he would repeat the stats, but I thought it was legitimate in that the Rays had unlocked an approach and a mix for him that would allow him to be that consistent kind of like top 25 arm. And I was happy to draft him wherever I could. It so happened that other pitchers I liked were falling and I didn't wind up with Eflin on a lot of teams, but I would have, and it has not gone well. And that is a, you know, an example and not kind of paying for that career year. And I understand people's hesitancy to do that. And I had talked myself into the raise of it all. And maybe it wasn't the case. But we're also seeing a great year from Jake Irvin, who's up three spots here. You know, listen, good curveball, and three variations of a fastball that he mixes in, you know, a lot of times. It's a five pitch arsenal. I don't really know what kind of ceiling it is, but it's working for you right now.
Yeah, right. I mean, he had a 10 strikeout game against Atlanta. Like, whoa, oh my gosh. Every other game has been six strikeouts or fewer, so you shouldn't really expect that kind of strikeout total from him. But yeah, the curveball is just doing work. Like, incredible, incredible work. And when you throw a pitch about 33% of the time for a 31% ICR, that makes a little bit of sense. So, yeah, Jake Irvin's just chucking in that curveball, having success with it, 68% strike rate. And then you have those fastballs, sinkers, cutters, just kind of maneuvering around the zone, trying not to allow a lot of hits. And yeah, the four seamer is not very good. It's a 45% ICR, but it's good enough. And you just keep starting Irvin right now.
You do. You keep starting on a few of these guys in tier eight, number two, number eight as well. Starting with number 60, Jesus Luzardo, number 61, Hunter Brown, number 62, Tyler McGill, number 63, Mitch Keller. What's this tier called? Why is it called that?
This is your ice cream truck, because there's a story of when I went to the ice cream truck and I was very particular about what I would get. I was all about value, even as like a 6-7 year old. I didn't want to just get one thing. I wanted to get a thing that was another thing. So I was very into getting the thing that was ice cream and bubblegum, right? There was a screwball, which was a top tier one for me, which had like the stuff on the top. And then at the bottom, there was a gumball, right?
Okay.
But there was also the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Had to do it. You had to do it.
Right? And that one, both the eyes, those were bubblegum. Okay. Yeah. So I remember getting it and, you know, opening it up, and I saw that one gumball was missing.
What?
I know. Oh my gosh. I was devastated. I spent so long deciding this. I needed both gumballs. That's why I went with this. Screwball only has one gumball. This has two. I deserve to have two. So I was in tears. My dad is then talking to the ice cream truck driver, being like, yo, come on, man. Can you get me a replacement for this? And they refused to do it. So at the end of the day, we didn't go back to the ice cream truck.
The fact that if a kid is in tears, were you like 16 at this point? Or
yeah, 15, yeah.
If a kid is in tears because the ice cream you give him isn't fully complete, like, what does that cost you? The markup, right? For a New York City ice cream man, like, what you're paying for that bar versus the $6 you're selling it for on the streets. Like, come on. I was in a Clair bar. I was in a Clair bar guy. Liked in a Clair bar.
Yeah, sure. Those are good.
But the Ninja Turtle one was also for sure. And then the like the American flag pop sometimes.
I never liked those. Yeah.
So I didn't often go with it because I pretty much always wanted the ice cream. But there were occasionally times where you're like, I just want the pop is fine, not the whole ice cream.
Yeah.
Speaking of the red, white, pop. Blue American flag, yeah. Pops. We got to talk about the American spork.
Oh, wow. No, we don't. That's not the thing that's here, though. That's not very good.
No, it's but bad. It's... but, it, but
I like what you did there. It was a good segue. I appreciate
it. But it's more that I just now I'm constantly referring to Tyler McGill as the American spork.
Well, what's kind of wild to me is I actually see a little bit of Kodai Senga, not because of the American spork. Senga to me is this prime example of how to make a fastball you can't command work, because you have to pair it with a cutter. Mm. That means that this fastball where they can't lock into a certain location could be a cutter or a fastball, right? It's kind of what Kerry Crochet is doing. And Tyler McGill cannot locate this 95 mile per hour elite extension. I mean, this is one of the best.
Yeah. Was it like seven,
like Logan Gilbert and Tyler McGill, you know, like Bailey Ober, right? Like, these are the guys. And he throws it harder than Bailey Ober, but he can't locate it like Bailey Ober does. But he gets away with it because the cutter also just is wherever. And so guys just don't know. Is this going to be the fastball? Is it going to be the cutter? I don't know. And if Tyler McGill can throw the ghost fork. I mean, I'm sorry, the American spork. That's Kodai Senga, essentially. Mm-hmm. So that's pretty cool. I don't know if this is really going to carry on. And I think it's just going to be this, you know, cherry bomb natured guy for a bit. Mm-hmm. But I needed to give him recognition for that as, hey, look, I actually might want to go with this with some consistency now.
Yeah. I wrote about McGill in that same article I wrote about Bradley. The fastball, 95.7 miles an hour, 7.5 feet of extension, 1.2 height adjusted.
Yeah, it's actually kind of flat. VAA. Too, which is surprising.
And he throws it up in the zone 40% of the time.
Yeah, that's it. Oh my gosh.
No. Middle, 13% of the time.
Oh, it's all low?
What?
It's low? Oh, 30. Oh, you're saying hard to play, not like M-lock. Like, yeah, you're talking.
No, I'm talking like middle, middle.
Yeah, that's not good. Don't do that.
No, not good. But and I think this is interesting. It's like, listen, we love Eno, we love Stuff Plus. But it is interesting that like we've talked about this on the show before, that like Stuff Plus separates Stuff Plus and Location Plus. And when I was writing the article, I thought it was really interesting to point out that like every pitch McGill throws, with the exception of his curveball, grades out as a plus, as a above average pitch by Stuff Plus.
Mm-hmm.
And all the pitches that McGill throws are below average in PLV, except for the cutter.
Ah, yeah.
And a lot of that is location, yeah, because he has a 90 location plus, which is not good. Right. And so location plus is telling you he doesn't have command of these pitches. It's just a separate metric from Stuff
Plus.
Yeah,
I'll ask you.
You get caught up on Stuff Plus sometimes.
Yeah, he mentioned that there's a certain level requirement for location plus for Stuff Plus to matter. And I think it is around 90. You know, once you hit that, then it's like past that threshold doesn't really matter. Your Stuff Plus is just that good.
Yeah.
And obviously, getting more location helps, but it's like you have to be a certain level. Like Joe Boyle, essentially, right? He's below that. So,
he threw really three innings without a walk in the spring training, Joe Boyle.
Oh, my gosh. Don't do this. Don't do this, Eric.
Yes. But Tyler McGill is in here. Did you think I was going to talk about Hunter Brown? Is that when I was starting with the American transition?
I didn't know. I was like, wait, there's no national in here. Hunter Brown, though, is looking better. He actually had his best start, I think I've ever seen him, where he legitimately like located everything. And I couldn't believe it. I was like, wait, did you do something? I don't know. But he's been on a decent run. I think the other starts were very much like, but this last one was like, oh, no, wait, hold on. This actually feels like you might be doing something. Meanwhile, Jesus Luzardo, what is going on? You have the nine run game, and then you have this latest one too that is now 92 miles per hour because your back was hurting. I don't know what's going on. I mean, maybe it's too low because he will get traded and the Marlins are going to be very protective of them right now. And wherever he goes, he'll probably be better, but it's such a headache.
My back is also hurting. Just...
So I think that's a cue to say that we have to get through tier 9, 10, 11, and 12, and we're going to do that after this break.
We'll start with tier 9, which is number 64, Brian Baio, what? Number 65, Reese Olson, number 66, Matt Waldron, and number 67, Jordan Hicks. What's the tier called? Why is it called that?
This is called the, I'm just going to say the cold soda. Okay. You know, it's been you need that hot, refreshing cold soda. And I actually don't drink soda anymore. It's been like a decade or so since I've actually like bought, maybe longer, like a can of soda or something like that for myself. But I remember as a kid how much that was just like the most refreshing thing ever.
Funny story.
It's about that.
Never drank soda because my mom told me I was allergic when I was a kid. She told me the carbonation made me sick.
Yeah.
Because my mom didn't want me drinking soda. And so I grew up thinking that I was allergic and I got sick. And then I got to the point where once I finally realized that wasn't a thing, I just had never drank soda and I never had like a craving for like getting a soda.
So have you had you must have had one since.
I'm a ginger ale guy.
Mm-hmm.
Like if you put whatever Coke, Pepsi, anything like that, like every now and then I'll drink it. It's too, I don't have a taste for it. It's like sweet. It's too sugary. I don't like it, but I'll do ginger ale when my tummy hurts. I'll do some ginger ale.
Okay. Yeah, sure. Whiskey
on the airplanes. I'll do ginger ale on the airplane sometimes.
Oh yeah. Nice. Yeah.
You were down on Reese Olson. He came out and shoved against the Braves tonight.
Oh, nice, thankfully. I mean, I'm just so happy about that. I mean, he had been struggling a bit. I did say he was my stream pick of the day. I needed to recognize, like, look, he is not. It's been three straight starts. His slider and his changeup were both really good last time, and I felt like, okay, he should be able to correct that. But also, Verlander, Stroman, Eflin, like, I feel a little bit more consistent with them.
Sure.
And I just felt, you know what, this tier nine of like Bayo, Olson, Waldron, Hicks, I still, they're Tobies. They're like, hey, look, you should still be fine with them. I am really glad to hear that he did well against
slider and changeup, both really good tonight.
That was the same as last start. And it's kind of funny. I think all of his hits except one were on four seamers and sinkers. And I'm like, all right, well,
four seam got crushed today.
Right. It always gets crushed. And that's the thing, is like, just be better at not throwing pitches down the middle with your four seamer, please. Yeah. Just go to slider or changeup instead. Thanks.
We gotta move to the next tier, because we gotta talk about, we're gonna, I assume, talk about some of these guys a little bit. It's a short tier, but it's a powerful one. It's the Napoleon of tiers, if you will. Tier number 10 starts with number 68, Spencer Schwellenbach, number 69, DJ Hers, and number 70, Cade Povich. What's this tier called? Why is it called that?
This is the July 4th holiday, of course.
Okay.
Where they could be Friday crackers. They could be, boom, oh my gosh, amazing. They look so pretty, and then it's over.
I like that. It works. Everybody probably wants to hear about DJ Hers, who had a great start against the Marlins, was, you know, the Marlins. But he has always had swing and miss. He was a respectable prospect for the Cubs before they traded him in the Jaime Candelario deal. He looked good in the Nationals organization second half of last year. He looked good in the AFL. There's been some reliever risk in terms of his command, but when he is commanding his arsenal, what we saw last outing was something that's always been like there. It's something he is capable of doing. Is he somebody you believe, not that he can consistently do that, but do you still see him as a starter, or do you think, hey, this might blow up, but it's worth taking a chance on?
I think you have to take a chance on a guy who just struck out 13 batters. I mean, I don't really believe that DJ Hers is going to have the same four seamer command, because we've seen through the minors that he had issues with that. We saw in the previous starts that it was, he was so inefficient. He threw 87 pitches to get through 4.1 innings against Atlanta. Then he threw fewer pitches, 84, to get through six and strike out 13 here. It was such an anomaly from the other two starts. And I'm not really going to believe in DJ Hers at the moment. However, take a chance on it. See what happens. I believe he gets Coors next. So good luck. Hey. If it's not Coors, it might be some. I don't know exactly which one it is off the top of my head, but whatever it is, it's not like the easiest of matchups. So yeah, you go for it. You see if it continues. I don't really expect it to.
Yeah. I kind of feel the same way about Cade Povich. I mean, tell me if I'm wrong, but I feel like good depth of pitch mix, right? Five legitimate pitches that he can throw. None of them really stand out, but also none of them are bad. And he's on a good team in a good home ballpark and may have just gotten a little bit more cushion for his job, considering the Bradish injury.
Oh yeah.
But there's nothing about him that makes me like super excited to roster him. Like, I could see doing it because he's not a bad pitcher, but I don't see an enticing ceiling here.
Right. So it's kind of funny getting like text messages from Alex Fast, like, oh man, did you watch the Cade Povich stuff? I'm like, oh, I haven't got a chance to yet, because, oh man, Men's Warehouse, you're gonna like the way he looks, I guarantee you. I'm like, okay. So I watch it, and I also then notice that Fast puts out this whole thing. Look at his sweeper. It was honestly only two whiffs on a sweeper, and they were one after another, really, against Michael Harris in the fifth, right? They're the only two whiffs he got. And those were really nice, but the other ones were like, okay. Cade Povich has a nice curveball. He threw a ton of them, 23 in this one. Six whiffs on 23, which is great. Really high strike rate, 83%. And generally, you don't allow a lot of higher contact, except those 100% ICR and two out of two, and the balls in play were both hard contact or ideal contact allowed from Povich. It's a four-seamer that he located decently well, and he got his outs with it. That's it sets up everything. Is he going to be enough of a kitchen sink guy? It could work out. As you mentioned, good team context. He's a Toby. I mean, that's it. The problem is that he has the shag rug. He has a young man's floor, right? We can't really buy into him being an ultra command guy out of the gate. It's so rare to see rookies be stupid good command guys. They normally go through ebbs and valleys. I don't know. Ebbs and flows. Ebbs and something.
Yeah, you didn't want to connect valleys to peaks again. You wanted
No, I didn't want to do it. One day, peaks will be free. But we have Kate Povich essentially as a, most of the time, really just a streamer. But maybe he does actually connect all the dots. Max Fried, you look at him on paper, it's not really the most impressive thing. He looks a lot like Max Fried. They've been calling him Mini Fried. So maybe there's something to this of his command that you want to hold on to it. And as you mentioned, with Kyle Bradish out, it's Albert Suarez, Cole Irvin, and Cade Povich as the final three of that. Even if they go out and get somebody, Cade Povich could easily beat Suarez or Irvin if they feel like he's still rolling with it. So
yeah,
that makes me put Cade Povich here as a Spice Girl. I don't really think you have to go out and get him, though.
Agree. Tier number 11 starts with number 7.
No, you missed the more interesting one. The best one!
You think he's the best one?
Okay, what about the highest of the tier, Eric? No,
sell me on it. I thought it was just a name thing. You just put him above.
It was just a name? What, Mr. Crescendo?
Mr. Crescendo?
Yeah, do you know why I call him that? No. Do you know why? Well, his name is Schwellenbach.
Right.
So it's, what's a swell in Bach? It's a crescendo.
Oh, clever. I like it.
Look, Schwellenbach is a kitchen sink boy. Last start, he threw 6 different pitches, including a sinker. That's kind of wild when you throw 96 on your four-seamer. I really like his cutter into lefties. I like his slider away to righties. He has a splitter involved here. That's pretty decent as well. Like, he's got a lot of things. 22 curveballs for 77% strikes here. And only one ball in play that was ideal contact. Not 100%. Like Cade Povich. Look, he gets the Tigers next. That's a much better matchup than Cade Povich. He's on a winning ball club as well. The Atlanta Bats are heating up. I kind of dig this. I think like he's going to win this spot that was between him and Waldrep, and now Waldrep's hurt, and he is their number 5 for Strider at the moment. I dig this. I think like you're going to run with Schwellenbach moving forward.
Interesting. Okay. Sure.
Why not?
Why not? I was team Waldrep. Obviously that burned me, and then he got hurt and he was going to go down anyway after his last start. And
he's worse Keaton Wynn.
Yeah. Speaking of,
I know, I got you.
Speaking of Mr. Transitions,
crescendo.
Tier number 11. Sarge's number 71, Keaton Wynn. Number 72, John Gray, who got obliterated by the Mets today. 73, Eric Fetty. 74, Mitchell Parker. 75, Kyle Gibson. 76, Brandon Fott. 77, Andrew Heaney. 78, Tyler Anderson. 79, Miles Michaelis. 80, Javier Assad. And number 81, Jose Soriano. What's this tier called? And why is it called that?
This one is called the Stars. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because you're just going to, after a long day, you just go back onto a field and you just look up at the stars and you wonder what could be. And you know that none of them are really going to be actually like, you're not going to go there. Maybe one of you are an astronaut and you're going to do some stuff. That's cool. But you always go back there and go, oh man, if only. But you know, you're just here on your grass. You think about your immortality and the things you have to deal with, which are these Tobies. Tier 11.
I look up at the stars and I think Miles Michaelis has been on a heck of a run.
I see him in the constellation.
Yeah. What is that star? Miles Michaelis's sinker? That's what it looks like to me.
Oh, gosh. Not the sinker. No, the slider is over the plate and he's throwing fastballs out of the zone. Like around the edges, and it's effective. It's kind of cool.
Yes.
Last 6 games have been quality starts.
Yeah. But also, Lance Barzowski wrote a piece today about changing the release height on his sinker and how it's helped make the sinker more effective as well. And while that is not a pitch that is driving success in the way that like a slider is, I think it is helping limit some damage. It's another, it is a pitch that's helping to round out the arsenal and give him a safer floor. And then the other things you're mentioning, are helping to thrive in terms of, you know, getting the four seamer out of the zone, getting swings and misses, throwing the slider for strikes, et cetera.
Right. Yep.
And we've seen him. We've seen him have good stretches before. Like, it's not.
I mean, 2022, baby. That was fun.
It was.
That was also the Cardinals' defense was absurdly good.
That was, and that was, and that was the example everybody gave when it stopped happening, right? Yeah. But again, but you know, Cardinals have a pretty good defense shortstop right now. Nolan Arenado can still play defense at third. Like, you know, they're not a terrible defensive team still. So
sure.
Who knows?
There's also Keaton Wynn plus 14 because he's good.
Plus 14.
He throws a splitter in the middle of the zone and gets away with it. And it's pretty cool.
Yeah. Is that your take? You don't, I know there's, he had some hype earlier on.
I mean, yeah.
You're just like, eh.
I mean, the other stuff is fine. There's nothing exciting really. And the splitter is not really a big whiff pitch. It's just a really effective strike pitch.
Yeah. And we just, I'm obligated to mention Jose Soriano because I love him and he's here. And I don't love him enough to pitch him every game. But yeah. I
always feel like he's a cherry bomb or a Toby, and I can't decide.
Sure. Would love, like, if the Orioles got him, great. Make him your fifth starter. I'm curious. No, I want to see what happens.
That's not.
No, they're not. They're not going to. But
absolutely.
I'd like to see it. I know.
Okay.
I'm going to take a deep breath here. We're going to get to this final streamer tier.
There you go. You got this.
Starts with, you want it? You can go make a coffee or something. I'll still be reading off some names. Starts with number 82, Alec Marsh. Number 83, Michael Lorenzen. Number 84, Jordan Montgomery. Number 85, James Paxton. Number 86, Tristan McKenzie. Number 87, Aaron Savali. Number 88, Cal Quantrill. Number 89, Hogan Harris. Number 90, Jose Quintana. Number 91, Bailey Falter. Number 92, Braxton Garrett. Number 93, Charlie Morton. Number 94, Jameson Taillon. Number 95, Jonathan Boom Gannon. Number 96, Spencer Arrighetti. Number 97, Tobias Funke Myers. Number 98, Colin Ray. Number 99, Roderick Munoz, and number 100 Carson Spires. What's the tier called? Why is it called that?
This one, you know, this one is called just listening to the crickets. You know, there's something about, there's the piece to it where you're like, you just stay awake in bed. It's quiet. You hear the crickets. You feel the moisture of the air and you're like, I just need to get through this one night.
And then you're like, these crickets are keeping me up.
These crickets are keeping me up. This humidity, it's keeping me up.
You're gonna think
over and over again, should I actually be starting Hogan Harris this week?
Yeah. I'd much rather go to sleep to the noises of the city.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. If you ever need me to help you with that, just give me a call. I got you.
I'll do that. Anybody on here, I know, you know, it's a streamer tier and they're particularly strong matchups or they're startable matchups for this week. Is there anybody here that you feel like you need to give special attention to?
Well, the bottom seven, actually bottom six, are these youngins. Okay. These fellas who are...
Oh, Spencer let me down, man.
Yeah. Oh, again today? No, just not over today. The weekend. Yeah, he didn't go today. Yeah. Well, I mean, I want to start with Jonathan Cannon, who all of a sudden showed up with a legit sweeper and cutter. I'm like, oh boy, look at this. You got 10 whiffs on those two combined. That's pretty cool. Over 49 throw. That's some good stuff. That's some good living. So I hope that sticks around for Jonathan Cannon. He had a decent changeup in there too. He had strikes with a sinker and his four seamer. And that was against the Mariners. So he does get the Astros first, but then he gets a much better start after that. I don't know. I feel like there might be something there with him. And Spencer Arrighetti, yes, he did let you down. You know the context. You know how badly this went. Yes. You know it was stupid. He went against the... not against the horse. He essentially went a day early against the Tigers when Verlander all of a sudden was like, yeah, my neck is bad today. I mean, look, he's 41. This is what they're saying in the playback chat. He's a 41-year-old who woke up with a bad neck. That's like normal 41-year-old stuff, right? As you don't know yet, Eric, you'll get there in 2 years. And Arrighetti had to all of a sudden start like that. Not fun. So messed him up. He gets the White Sox this week. That won't be all of a sudden rushed. I don't want to just rule him out completely because he has that one bad start. So he's still around here. There's Carson Spires, who did not do well today. Womp womp. He had a decent two-step of Pirates and Red Sox, and I guess that's not it. Roderick Munoz and Colin Ray have been kind of okay. Same with Tobias Myers. Well, like, maybe those stick.
Really, what if I told you he doesn't get the White Sox this week?
Who?
Arrighetti.
Well, that's annoying.
At least according to RotoWire.
Oh, because Verlander would take that.
Verlander
is not back. Argetti would get the White Sox on Thursday, but then Argetti would get Baltimore on Friday, which you absolutely don't want.
Yeah.
Well, that's annoying. When I was making this, they were saying otherwise. So
yeah, no, I mean, fingers crossed. They haven't officially announced.
No, that's going to be what it is, I'm sure. Yeah. I should mention, by the way, hey, Max Scherzer's coming back on Saturday, Nick. You didn't have him on the list. Where do you think Max Scherzer should be on the list, Eric?
That's a very good question. Let me look at this chart for a second and see. Ooh, he gets a start against Kansas City. I find that intriguing.
Mm-hmm.
I think I'd put him like around the Jake Irvin level.
Oh man, so that's down. That's in the end of tier seven.
I have literally no idea what I'm getting.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I'm with you. I probably put him around tier six, so like Hunter Green.
Sure.
But I mean, yeah, so around the closer to 50. But right, this is the problem, is that it's not Garrett Cole, it's old Max Scherzer. Right? We don't know if his back is okay fully. We don't know how long it's gonna be with it. We don't know if it's of quality or not. We weren't the highest on Max Scherzer entering the year.
No.
And I said that's weird.
I said this on our Roto World podcast today. It's like when a guy like Clayton Kershaw is coming back. And you're like, oh, well, he's old. It's like, yeah, but Clayton Kershaw's thrown 91 for 7 years. Like, he's not learning how to throw with decreased velocity. Like, Max Scherzer is not only adjusting to physical health issues, but is learning how to be a completely different pitcher who can't just throw hard.
Wait a second. Are you more in on Kershaw than Scherzer?
That's a really good question, because I would say no from this point out, because I think that Scherzer's back this week and Kershaw.
Okay, let's say that Kershaw is coming back this weekend.
Yes.
Why?
Yeah, because I think I'm getting 5 innings of elite production, because he was tremendous at the start of last year and has had an ERA over 3.03 just one time since his rookie season.
Yeah.
And a better team context. So I think five and dive, like 5 innings on the Dodgers, is different than a 5-inning starter on the Reds or whatever. So I think if I'm getting consistent 5 innings of a pitcher who at worst is like a 3 ERA arm on potentially still the best team in baseball,
right?
There's still a decent chance for wins there, and it's going to help my ratios, and I know I'm not getting, again, tons of innings, but I would take that over Scherzer when I'm not sure what I'm getting.
Now, this is, of course, now, with the context that thinking that he would return. Now, when do you actually think that Kershaw is going to return?
Well, I know he's starting his rehab assignment this week, but he's starting in the complex league. They're right now saying they're still saying late July. So I think you get maybe 2 months of Kershaw. Mm-hmm. And so that's why I'm taking Scherzer over Kershaw, because I'm getting 3 months of.
So on August 1st, though, you're going to take Kershaw.
On August 1st, if you said, who would I take from here on out?
Yeah.
I'd probably take Kershaw, and I would cheat and say, obviously, like, I haven't seen a rehab start yet. He's got the shoulder capsule thing. Like, I might want to know how he looks. But yes, I would say from August 1st on, I'm probably taking Kershaw.
Yeah, I don't think that Kershaw is going to pitch this year.
And also entirely possible. And I think what's entirely possible is that Max Scherzer makes 2 starts and is hurt and
Yeah. I have more faith that Scherzer is going to be more like Scherzer than Kershaw is going to be like Kershaw.
I
could be very wrong about this. I just remember when all this stuff came out about what he did, every single person I talked to was like, that is like a 14 to 16 month recovery. And he's saying he's going to be ready, Nate. And, there is very much a sense of like Kershaw feels like this is the end, and he might just be like, I'm just going to try and do this. I don't know. But
here's I know I made this argument with Chris Sale in the offseason, but like, if Clayton Kershaw is saying this is the end and I'm just going to do it, and he's saying, and you're saying, okay, give us 2 months. Aren't you like, yeah, I think Clayton Kershaw can do it.
Yeah. But he wasn't that great last year.
But he was at the start of the year, at least.
Yeah.
And also his stats the whole year are, he still was a,
can we agree that we both ERA. Want Robbie Ray instead?
No.
Like, I want Robbie Ray more than Scherzer and Kershaw.
So I want Robbie Ray more than Scherzer, I guess. And yes, logically, I do want him more than Kershaw. I think.
But the fact why are you going against logic, Eric?
Well, the fact that he had Tommy John and command is like one of the last things to come back after Tommy John, and command was already a question mark for Robbie Ray, has me being like, we could get some really bad stretch.
Yeah, that's a good point.
In terms of health and age and upside, I would take Ray. But I don't think Kershaw is going to have a run of starts where he may give up like 15 runs in 7 innings across 2 starts or whatever.
I feel like he will, honestly. I feel like he's going to get bamboozled.
Maybe.
Bamboozled.
I honestly have no idea. It's like one of those things. It's like where Nadal gets on a court and you're like, I know his body is failing him, but it's Rafael Nadal. I can't not trust that he's going to find some way to put together something that is passable. I don't know. Yeah. I could be wrong.
Yeah, I know. It's going to be fun anyway just to see him out there. I'm going to be so sad about it all. But I think that's going to do it, Eric. I know I carried this one way longer than it should be. I'm sorry we went a little bit long on this one.
Well, that's okay. I gave you the same theme. So you just
now you recognize that you did.
I
recognize that you did.
I didn't. I don't know that I did. I'm running Adam with the joke. I have no idea. Adam will know. We'll get a message later. And I'll check it a week later on my Discord since I'm terrible at Discord. I'm Eric Samolsky, the Pelican.
I'm Nick Pollock, the Lion.
And I'm going to go back and listen to all of our podcasts to see if I repeated this theme.